This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There are many images now fixed in our minds from the past week. Smoke and flame over the skyline of Baghdad. Soldiers blurred by swirling sand. And the pictures of the dead and the injured. Those scenes from Iraq are juxtaposed with some images closer to home. Protesters staging die-ins in the middle of busy streets. Nobel laureates handcuffed in front of the White House. Tens of thousands marching down Broadway. As the war continues, so does the movement to stop it. And like battlefield commanders who adjust their tactics to changing circumstances, protest organizers have to take account of public opinion, demonstration fatigue, frustration, and impatience. Today we'll talk with people involved in organizing resistance to the war in Iraq. What can this minority do to sustain the protest and hold the interest of the media and, if they can, persuade rather than alienate those who now disagree with them? Later in the program, we'll also take your calls as we remember Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the outspoken and often controversial New York senator, writer, and policymaker who died yesterday. If you'd like to email us a story or a remembrance of Pat Moynihan, you can do that now. The address is totn@npr.org. But first, NPR's Steve Inskeep joins us from Doha in Qatar. And Steve, let's run through the places where U.S. forces are engaged right now, if you would.
Okay, let's start with the newest place, Neil. In northern Iraq, in the last 24 hours, about 1,000 U.S. paratroopers jumped out of airplanes, landed near or on an airstrip, and took control of it in northern Iraq. We don't know exactly what their mission is, but it's believed that that first 1,000 is simply going to secure that airstrip, and more U.S. forces may be on the way. This is in the Kurdish-controlled part of northern Iraq. If we were to move then counterclockwise around Baghdad, you can find American or British forces on every side. To the west, you have U.S. special operations troops that continue to parachute in themselves or move in other ways and take control of airfields. They're looking for Scud missile launchers, looking for other signs of Iraqi activity to the west of Baghdad. To the south and southeast of Baghdad, you have the American forces, the Marines and the U.S. Army, that have been there for the last couple of days. They've been slowed down by massive sandstorms, but officials here at the U.S. Central Command headquarters have been suggesting that now that the weather is improving, that things may begin moving again. And then the last thing to mention, and the most troublesome from the U.S. and British point of view, are the troops that are still engaged in southern Iraq, all the way down almost to the Kuwaiti border, fighting continuing resistance from Iraqi fighters, which may include regular army troops, irregular forces. Just today, Neil, in the southern city of Basra, yet another column of armored vehicles came out of the city. It wasn't clear if they were intending to escape or intending to attack the British forces that surround that city, but there were 14 tanks. 14 British tanks went after them, destroyed all 14 Iraqi tanks, we're told by British officials, so the resistance there was not all that effective, but it's continuing. The fighting is continuing all across the country.
Do you get the impression that the forces coming up around Baghdad are pausing while forces are redeployed to secure these lines of supply?
U.S. military officials would not certainly tell us any such thing, Neil. They will insist that they are on plan, that they have made adjustments as necessary, but they certainly won't talk about what the adjustments may be. One factor in the pause appears definitely to be the weather. It's prevented U.S. helicopters, for example, from attacking Republican Guard forces over the last couple of days. But there are also some fairly clear signs that keeping this advanced force around Baghdad supplied is a big challenge. It is a big strain. And we're told by military officials here who are consistently upbeat that they're handling that logistical challenge. But there are also reports from reporters who are traveling with the troops that periodically they've been a little short of ammunition. Periodically they've had less water on hand than they would like to have had. No desperate shortages, but signs of some cracks in the logistics. So yeah, you could speculate at least that that is a factor in this pause as the U.S. Prepares to do whatever they're going to do next.
Earlier today, in an interesting statement, the Iraqi defense minister predicted that the U.S. forces would be able to encircle Baghdad in the space of 5 to 10 days or so. But then he said, our forces will back up into the city and there will be a bloody street-to-street fight.
Well, we've heard over the last few days from our correspondent there, Neil, Ann Garrels, that preparations for such a street fight are being made, that you can see trenches being dug in the city and that sort of thing. And there is no doubt, I don't think on either side, that Baghdad is where this war may well be decided. We heard today from Air Marshal Sir Brian Burridge. He's the senior British officer here, and he was observing that from his perspective, even though the U.S. and Britain are facing trouble in Basra, trouble in Nasiriya, trouble in other parts of the country, and many challenges, and humanitarian challenges and other kinds of challenges, that in his view, Baghdad is, as he put it, the center of gravity in this campaign. The view of that British officer and many officers here would be that if you get Baghdad to fall, if you knock Saddam Hussein out of power, a lot of the problems that you're facing elsewhere in the country having to do with Iraqi resistance and other troubles will simply collapse. And until you succeed in doing that, you're going to continue to have problems all around the country. So certainly the U.S. is continuing to focus that way, and there's little surprise that the Iraqis are preparing for a last-ditch battle there. The question, Neil, I guess, is going to be how fierce that battle will become.
NPR's Steve Inskeep, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Steve Inskeep with us on the phone from Doha in Qatar.